My name is Laura Foose, and today I'm speaking with Clayton Dumbach. We are conducting this interview as a part of the IUP Oral History Program's Coronavirus Collection. We are conducting our interview over Zoom. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
So the first question's easy. How do you spell your first and last name?
Clayton Dumbach, C-L-A-Y-T-O-N, Dumbach, D-O-M-B-A-C-H.
Great, thank you. When did you first learn about coronavirus?
I can't pinpoint a specific time, but I think it was probably the month before we all went into quarantine. So like February, around that time is when I started hearing about like whispers of it. But I don't remember hearing like the specific details until the beginning of March. Yeah.
And what was your understanding of the virus and its severity at that time?
Yeah, in the beginning, honestly, I did not take it very seriously because there had been the Ebola outbreak a couple years ago. And then at my college, there was a mumps outbreak last year. And both of those, there was like a lot of fear in the beginning. And then they just kind of fizzled out and they weren't very serious. So I assumed that this was going to be similar, that it was just going to be like, we're all going to freak out for a couple weeks. And then while some people will get it, it won't spread that wide. And then we'll all move on in a month or two. I also am like, I don't know. Selfishly, I don't ever think that anything's like wrong with life. So I like to think of things in a pretty positive light. So I was like, oh, it'll be fine. We'll move on in a couple weeks. I did not think it was going to be that severe, but here we are. Sorry, could you repeat the question again?
No, I was just looking at the, okay. I was looking at my interview questions.
Okay, sorry.
So when did your like understanding of the virus change and that you became more aware of its maybe potential impacts?
Yeah, I think that was probably like at the beginning of March. I had traveled in February. I was on a plane and I saw people with masks and I was like, that is just so dramatic. Like, it's gonna be fine. It's just the flu. And then once March came around is when like the cases were going up and the government was getting involved or not getting involved rather, but there was like more publicity about the whole thing. Yeah, so I'd say the beginning of March is when I like started to take it more seriously. And then I started thinking about how it was going to impact my life more specifically, about how it would affect my school and, you know, if classes would be closed or anything. So yeah, I'd say like right when March, the beginning of March is when I started taking it more seriously. But I know that it was later than a lot of people did.
And around that point, were you at all like afraid?
To be honest, I don't think I was afraid about the actual health concerns for myself. I was more just concerned about like how it was going to affect the other aspects of my life, if that makes sense. Like I mean, it's selfish of me, but I'm relatively healthy and able-bodied. So I was like, even if I get the virus, I probably wouldn't have a major impact. It wouldn't probably have a major impact on my life, but I was more concerned of like, I had things coming up in school and trips that I had planned that I was like concerned that they were going to get canceled. So I was more scared about that than I was the actual health benefits or lack thereof, the health concerns rather. But having said that, I do also have family who like it would and has really impacted them. So, I don't know. I'd say it was a slow burn. Like at first I was concerned about kind of the external like effects of it, but now I'm like very much aware of the health concerns and I'd say I'm scared about it now. Yeah.
Scared for yourself or scared for others?
All of the above. Yeah, to give a specific example, my aunt has been dealing with a lung disease for about 5 years and she had a lung transplant maybe 2 years ago. And we knew that if she got the virus, it would have really impacted her. So that was a part of my initial fear, the thought of like, if she would get it from me or from anyone else, it would have been really bad. She ended up passing away in March, not from the virus, but from other health reasons. But it was all in like the same time frame that it made the virus seem very real, but just because I knew how scary it would have been for her. And I am scared for myself, but again, like I am relatively healthy and I'm young enough that I'm, on the whole, I know that the virus has less of an impact on people in my age bracket. I know that there's obviously exceptions, and there's part of the scary part is that we don't know, we don't know why it affects some people more than others. So I know that if I would get it, there's a chance that it could be really detrimental. But yeah, I mean, I think the fear like comes in waves, where some weeks it feels very scary to like be going out into the world and going to work, but other times it feels like just another day, because I don't know, it's been 6 months at this point. So it's hard to deal with all of it all the time.
Do you think that the waves, do you think that there's something that like affects those waves, that sometimes the fear is more present than others?
I feel like right now in the world, there's so many things that are really overwhelming and seem like they're just really negative, between the politics and the racial injustice and the coronavirus. I feel like all have come to this like weird storm of stress and anxiety for a lot of people, and definitely me. So I find that like sometimes the other aspects will kind of impact how I feel about the coronavirus. Like there are certain weeks that there's a lot of political news that I find really stressful, and then it makes me like that stress and that fear kind of like rolls over into how I feel about the coronavirus that week. But then there's other weeks that like, if personally I feel like I'm having a good week, if I get to see people and I get to like, I'm just having a good week in general, then I feel like I'm not as fearful. I mean, I'm still cautious and taking all the precautions that I can, but I feel like there's not as much dread and fear for the future than others. But I'd say, yeah, I mean, the waves are more from like other factors than the virus itself. Yeah.
So in what way was your life first affected by the pandemic?
The first thing that happened was I got sent home from school. So I am a student at Temple University, and I was an RA last year. So in March, as people started talking about it and I started hearing more about this virus, mostly people were thinking that we would like have classes canceled for a week or something. And to be honest, at that point, again, the severity, and no one really knew the severity of it, so it seemed kind of exciting. Like, people were like, oh my gosh, I won't have to, you know, study for this exam. And there was definitely some assignments and things I had to do for my RA job that I was like kind of excited to not have to worry about. But then as the extensions kept being made and the whole semester ended up being canceled, more things that got shut down. And it was pretty soon after, I think at my school it was announced on a Wednesday, and they said they were going to be canceling classes of that following week, but then by the end of the week on Friday, all of the classes for the rest of the semester had been sent online, and I got sent home to my parents' house. So we got not kicked out, but we were asked to leave our on-campus housing, and then move back with our parents or families. So within 2 days, I had to pack up my whole apartment and move back in with my parents. It also meant that I lost my job as an RA, which impacted me financially. Within like a week, my classes were canceled. The rest of the semester was canceled or sent online, but it felt like it was canceled. I got sent home and I lost a job. So it was all within that first week that it all got shut down.
Yeah. How was the transition to online classes?
It sucked, to put it lightly. I had a really difficult time. And looking back now is when I can acknowledge it. Like in the heat of the moment, I was just like, this is a stressful time for everybody. Like everyone's having a hard time. But I really, really struggled. I was in majority of design classes and then a couple other like general education classes. And while my design classes, I was able to like get through them. They were classes that I used to enjoy and now they just felt like a chore. My general education classes, my gen eds that initially felt like a chore now were like so painful. I hated going to Zoom classes. I hated doing any of the assignments. And I really had a hard time. Temple went from like having a letter grade system to all we could choose to do credit or no credit. So it would have less of an impact on our final transcripts if we chose that. And I did do that for my general education classes because my grades were not looking good and it seemed smarter for me to just take the choice that was going to impact my grade less. And I ended up having to take no credit on a class, which means that I essentially failed it, but it just wasn't going to be my transcript as a fail. So yeah, it was really hard. It was also right after I'd moved back home with my parents. And I find that I do better when I have my own independence and my own like space. So there was like a new family dynamic that not a new family dynamic, but a family dynamic that I had to deal with that I didn't have to deal with before. And then of course it was the actual threat of coronavirus, plus my aunt passed like pretty soon after we went online. So out of all of that stuff, my grades definitely suffered and the transition to online classes was less than ideal for me because of that.
What restrictions were put in place in your local area?
To be honest, I don't know the specifics, but I know that when everything got shut down for the first time, all essential businesses were closed, which meant like pretty much everything other than medical facilities and grocery stores and, you know, a couple of those other things was closed. And my family was being really strict about it. My parents both were able to continue working, but my parents didn't let me leave the house except for like an hour every day to go on my once a day walk, which I know was the government recommendation or rather the CDC's recommendation. But I like didn't go grocery shopping at all. My mom would do it on the way home from work and we wiped down all the groceries. So yeah, for the first 1 or 2 months, is when it was the strictest, but I don't know the specifics of what the guidelines were. I just know that it was like pretty much just the grocery stores and the hospitals were open. Yeah.
Do you know how those restrictions changed over time?
Yeah, I know in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, which is where I ended up moving back to with my parents, there was like different zones, I think like a red, a yellow, and a green zone. And I think throughout the summer is when they started like opening things back up in accordance with those zones. Again, I don't know what those specifics were, but I know that at one point throughout the summer, some restaurants started opening and there was like restrictions with that. So there was only outdoor seating and some of the other businesses in the area were able to open. At one point, like retail stores were open. So you know, clothing stores and other businesses that were considered non-essential opened up. But yeah, I don't know more than that. I don't really know the specifics.
And what are the restrictions now in Philadelphia?
In Philly, I work in a restaurant, so I know the restrictions for that. And it's still, I mean, I think there's still like a good amount of restrictions. Masks are required in majority of businesses if you have to go into a store or a restaurant or something. In restaurants, there can be a maximum of 4. Well, we still have to do like spatially distant seating. So all the tables are 6 feet apart from each other. Our indoor like dining room is only at 25% capacity. And we can do a maximum of four parties of four inside and a maximum of parties of six outside. And then all the staff wears masks, and the guests who come to the restaurant are advised to wear masks until they're seated at their table and their food comes out. And that's true about most restaurants in the city. I think it's true about all the restaurants in the city, because if the health code, they occasionally come by and they will like shut restaurants down and close them if the guidelines are not met. I know there's also restrictions of our outdoor seating. They have closed off the street where my restaurant is, and a lot of the restaurants in the city are on this one street, and they close it off on the weekends to allow restaurants to expand their seating onto the street. But then there's now new restrictions of umbrellas that are at each table, of how low they can be and how high they can be. And now that it's getting colder, there's restrictions with like heaters, because people want to still sit outside, but they don't want to be cold. So we've set up heaters, but then there's like restrictions with that, and how close they can be to the tables, and how close they can be to the umbrellas, and how close they can be to each other. Admittedly, I don't have to worry about all that stuff. That's more of a manager's job. But I still have to, as a host, I have to seat people in their tables, and often I have to remind them of the restrictions we have with the numbers of people that we can have inside and outside. On the whole, Philadelphia, for the most part, it's like pretty open. I mean, there's still no large gatherings for things like theaters and sports games. Like, you can't be in big groups. But bars and clubs aren't open, because again, it would be big groups of people, but like most stores are open. And shopping and going to like takeout places, it can still happen as long as you wear your mask inside.
So do you think the restrictions in both Lancaster and Philadelphia, do you think those were appropriate?
Yes, I think they were definitely appropriate. They were necessary. And I think, to be honest, they could have been more strict about it. As painful as it was those first 2 months, only being able to leave the house for a walk, I know that it was necessary. And I think we could have, like, on the whole, we could have been more strict about when people were allowed to leave. Because as we've seen, other countries have already like had things reopen, and not that the coronavirus is solved or cured, but their numbers have gone down significantly to the point where they can open back up to some sense of normalcy. But obviously here in America, it's been like this long haul that we're still just trying to work on. So I think if there would have been a lot more, if there was more strict restrictions over the summer, then maybe the fall would look a little bit differently, of less restrictions, because there would have been less people that had gotten diagnosed with the virus. And I think now, like, I would like to say that we're doing the best we can, but we definitely aren't. Like, even me going to work at a restaurant, it's like essential for me because I have to pay rent and pay my bills, but I know that it's not an essential business. Like, the people who are coming to get food are in a position where they could probably like do without it. Like, it's not going to be a super impact. Like, it's not going to be really impactful if they don't have food from this one restaurant once. So I honestly think that it should be more strict. But I think people are just too impatient and too selfish to be able to, stop themselves from getting what they want.
So you mentioned that at the start of the pandemic, you were a student. Were you a student throughout the spring, summer, and fall?
So I was a student for the rest of the spring semester. I finished all my classes online. And then over the summer, I was not taking any classes. I did end up getting a job out of state, actually, which there was like a whole, there's a whole other, conversation there with what it was like to be out of state for a couple weeks. And I was expecting to come back to school this fall. It would have been my senior year, but I decided not to because of the impact of coronavirus. I am a theater major, so I am studying specifically scene design. So all of my work, or a majority of my work, is about like in-person performances and the actual like design and construction of scenery for shows. And none of that can happen with the current restrictions. There was supposed to be like some virtual play readings and different types of like alternatives to live performances this year. But considering it was going to be my senior year, it didn't seem, after I talked with my parents and my advisors and my mentor, it didn't seem worth the money, frankly, to go back to doing all online classes when I wouldn't be getting the same experience that I would be in a normal, you know, normal scenario. So I decided to take this year off. I'm taking a leave of absence and working for a year, and then hopefully I'll go back fall of 2021 and hopefully things will be back to normal. But what's really difficult about that is that I won't know whether or not this time off is worth it until then. So it's just kind of a waiting game until then.
Is there anything that would potentially prevent you from going back to school the fall of 2021?
I mean, yeah, there are some factors, but at this point, even if things are still online, I'll probably just take the classes online and then just graduate and just be done with my undergrad, because I do plan to go to grad school at some point. And it just wouldn't make sense in my mind to continue to push out this degree for who knows how long if I'm just going to go to grad school anyway. So I think no matter what, I'll go back next fall and just take all the classes online if I have to. At this point, I think I'll probably just end up going back.
So tell me about your job this summer.
Yeah, so back in February, I had been hired as a set designer at a theater in Missouri where I had worked the previous summer. And I was going to be working on a couple shows there. But then once Corona hit in March, things, of course, were changed. And there was still, like, people were thinking that we were going to be done with it in a couple months. So my boss and I had talked, and it seemed like we were going to be open by maybe July or August. So they canceled a couple of the shows. They canceled a couple of the shows, and then we were going to do one of the shows and some kids programming at the end of the summer. So they were still asking me and some other designers and artists to come out to Missouri for those jobs. So I'd been working on a couple designs after my semester had ended in school. And then as I was getting ready to go out to Missouri, I had found out that all the shows were canceled except for some kids programming, but I still needed a job because I was just sitting around at home and I needed to get a job. And I also was like looking for opportunity to not be at home anymore. So I decided to still go to Missouri and work there for a couple weeks. I found that the amount that people cared about Corona was far less than it was here in Pennsylvania, at least for the people that I was around. I saw less masks as the further I got away from PA, like at gas stations, and if I was stopping to get lunch or use the bathroom, I saw people without masks on. And then once I was actually in Missouri, the town is so small and it's pretty conservative. So there were people that didn't believe that the virus was real and they thought it was all a hoax. And there were times that as a staff, the theater company would be wearing their masks and a community member would come in and kind of laugh and be like, oh, the masks aren't necessary. You're just doing it for whatever, to sell out to whoever the government. I don't even know what they think, but they thought that we were silly for wearing masks. It ended up being a weird scenario overall because the work I was planning to do didn't actually come to fruition. So the virus impacted me in that way. But then there was also just like the social aspect of it all that I wasn't really expecting, going there and seeing how people didn't really care about the virus. So initially I was excited to go out to Missouri and not have to really think about the virus. But then by the end, I was ready to come back to Pennsylvania and not have to worry about the virus in a different aspect, if that makes sense.
So did the attitude of people in Missouri, did that affect your attitude at all regarding coronavirus?
It made me more worried and more aware of it because they just didn't think it was real. And I found it absurd. Like, I know that there's conspiracy theories that it's all whatever, that it's not real, that it's all fake. But I find that absurd because I listen to scientists. And it just made me like scared for myself and for that community, because it's a pretty small town. And there were things like church services, and it was over the summer. So July 4th, I was there in July when July 4th happened. And so there were people in big groups that were getting together. And when I first got there, there had been zero cases except for two back in March. And I got there in maybe June. So there were two cases back in March, zero when I got there. And then by the time I left, there were over 40. And that was it took a big impact on the town. So I, as the weeks went on, I got more scared to be there, considering the lack of precautions that were being taken. And it made me more worried about it, to be honest.
So you mentioned that the work you were doing at the theater didn't come to fruition. Can you explain that a little bit more?
Yeah. So like I said, initially I was hired to design two of three main stage performances. So this theater is a regional theater, which means they do like large scale Broadway style productions with actors from all over the country. And there were supposed to be three of them this summer. And I was hired to work on two of them as a set designer. And then when things first started closing, they had cut down two of the performances and they were just going to do one and then a bunch of kids programming. By the end of the summer, that one main stage show was canceled. We did two, it was a kids camp and a show for kids, but put on by the company members. And then the last two kids programs were also canceled. It was going to be another kids camp, like a show put on by kids for kids. And then another like skills camp that was all canceled. So while it was nice to still be working in the theater industry and to still be making money in such a difficult time, the work that I got hired to do, I did not do it. it definitely impacted me because that was going to be portfolio work. And as I was looking towards graduation at the time, I was excited to have those credits on my resume. But instead, we just kind of did, like, it felt like busy work for a theater in a town that didn't really care about anything. Yeah.
Do you know what will happen with that theater? Like, will they, in the future, will they put on the productions they were planning on putting on this past summer, or are they just skipping this season?
Yeah. Just recently, actually, within the past couple of days, I saw an announcement that they are... So the other thing, when they first shut down, they were like, they kept putting on a temporary date for opening the shows. They said, okay, we're going to do it at the end of August. We're going to do it in November. We're going to push it to December. While other theaters across the country had said, we're closing indefinitely and we'll open when we can, but we don't know when that will be. But this theater that I was working at continued to push off their opening night for some of these shows. And just recently, a couple of days ago, they announced that they're going to be closing indefinitely until other theaters are opening. So the producer who hired me and who, you know, makes all the creative decisions and executive decisions for the theater said that they're still going to try to do a combination of some of the shows from this past season and some new ones to kind of mix it up. And I don't know more details, but I can assume that has to do with obtaining rights and some of the legal and financial decisions there. But yeah, it sounds like it's going to be opening sometime in the future, but we don't know when that will be. So until then, it's just kind of closed like all the other theaters until who knows when.
So it sounds like you had a few different jobs throughout like the past 6 months. In those times, how was your daily routine affected by the pandemic?
Yeah, it has changed completely multiple times. I, like I said, was a student who was an RA on campus, and then I was a student who was virtual at my parents' house. And then there was a couple weeks in the middle where I didn't have really any responsibilities. I didn't have a job and I didn't have classes. So I was just sitting around all day and I couldn't leave the house. And then I moved halfway across the country to work at a theater, which wasn't doing well. So I was working, but I wasn't doing work that was fulfilling to me. And it didn't feel like it was impacting the company or the community that I was working in. And now I'm working at a restaurant in a city that is full of people, while also being around other students. So it definitely has changed multiple times and in many ways. I don't think any of it is necessarily negative. To be honest, it's probably been better for me to have a change of pace, because I think I'd be really struggling if I was still at home with my parents, only being able to leave for an hour a day taking online classes. And I know that it's hypocritical for me to say, I'm glad I got to, be around and do things, while also saying that we should be doing less things with more restrictions. But yeah, I mean, it's hard, obviously, for everyone. So I've just had to do what was going to make sense for me in the long run.
Did you develop any new hobbies or interests as a result of the different restrictions?
Yeah, a couple. When I was in Missouri, I did learn how to sew. So I started doing a little bit of sewing. I made some clothing while in Missouri, and now I'm able to make my own masks, which is really nice. I was able to find patterns online, and now I can make them with fabrics that I like, and so they fit my face. I also have been learning to do some projection technology, which is a skill that I hope I can use in theater, industry once I graduate and can get jobs again, if theater ever comes back. But yeah, I don't know if that's really as a product of coronavirus, because when it first hit, a lot of people were like baking and learning yoga and all that stuff. That's when I was still stressed about school and trying to find a job. But now I feel like these other things have kind of come from the things that I've had to do that doesn't make any sense. The things I've had to do because of Corona. I don't know. It wasn't because I was sitting around in my house. It's actually because I was doing other things. I got to learn these new skills, new hobbies.
Did you try to maintain normalcy at all in your daily life? During the different times of restrictions?
I can say that I did, but I didn't put much effort into it and it wasn't very successful. So yeah, I mean, I know when it first hit, everyone was like, you have to make yourself a schedule, pretend like you're waking up and still going to class, even if you aren't leaving your house, and, still try to eat at normal times and go to bed at normal times. And I definitely was telling myself that I was doing that, but I was simply not. And it was for lack of trying. I did not put that much effort into it. I think now there's some sense of normalcy that I do have a job, that I'm getting regular hours, and I do have to leave my apartment to do that. So I have a schedule that I do have to follow pretty closely. And now that restrictions are being lifted, I am seeing some people. We're being as safe as we can with being spatially distant and wearing our masks and not doing things in big groups. But yeah, I think now that there's some sense of normalcy returning, but not, I wouldn't say that my life feels like it did a year ago in terms of its normal. It's more just my day to day feels normal because I go to work and I see people and then come home. But some of the things that I was doing a year ago of traveling or going to see shows, going to see performances, that kind of stuff. The fact that I'm not seeing those things doesn't feel normal.
Did the changes caused by the pandemic affect your physical health?
Yes. When the pandemic first hit, like I said, I was stuck in my house. And while I normally am, you know, buying my own food and exercising when I can at school, I was now just sitting around and eating the food that my parents were buying, which was not as health conscious as I normally am. So I did gain some weight in a way that was negative for me and my own body. When I went to Missouri, I had the independence again to be able to buy my own groceries and take care of myself with some exercise, and just the fact that I was like moving and working and doing, you know, moderate physical labor was enough to like help me feel better about myself. And I felt healthier too. And now that I'm again back in Philly, I am doing my own grocery shopping and I'm able to exercise regularly as part of my daily routine. So yeah, it was rough for a couple months, but I was able to like kind of bounce back from that, and I'm feeling better than I did 6 months ago.
Good. Did the changes caused by the pandemic affect your mental health?
Yes, also. Like I said, I really struggled those first couple months. It was just such a, like my whole life felt like it was uprooted. And I know that there are like so many people have been affected in so many negative ways, but it was really difficult when we first went online, between the moving home and taking online classes. And just like, I couldn't see the people that I was seeing every day. And there's just so many things that were very stressful. So I just struggled to, I don't know like specifics about my mental health, but I know that I just had a harder time finding any motivation or feeling like calm as much as I normally do.
How did your plans for this current year change because of the pandemic?
Yeah, they completely changed. I was going into my senior year, and I had set myself up. I've been working hard the last 3 years to be really involved in the theater department. I was going to be designing the set for a couple shows, and I was going to be living on my own. After having been an RA for 2 years, I was set up to be working on a minor in art. So I was getting ready to take a bunch of art classes, and I had kind of set myself up for a great senior year. But now that thing, you know, when things went online and I decided to just take the year off, it's completely different from what I thought it was going to be. Like, I didn't see myself having to find a job and, you know, paying rent so early. My parents were going to help me with rent for my last year of school. But now that I'm on my own, I am paying for my own bills and stuff, which is not a bad thing, but it's just completely different from what I thought it was going to be. It was really hard to like make this decision initially. It was like the whole summer I debated it. And I think it was the right choice in the end. But again, I won't really know the payoff until next fall. So yeah, life is completely different right now.
So because you're in like an industry that was more affected by the pandemic than some other industries, do you foresee the pandemic like having a long-term effect on your career?
100%. It's been really hard to be approaching graduation and getting a degree in a job that may never exist again. I try to keep positive, and the artists across the world who are involved in theater have been doing other kinds of programming, whether it's like virtual play readings or, you know, online concerts, but it's simply not the same as live performance. There also have been, after Broadway first shut down, was a real like wake up moment for I think a lot of theater artists across the country as like other smaller community and regional theaters closed. It became kind of really scary to see that like even the industry leaders on Broadway were struggling with the restrictions. It also has been kind of grim seeing them push back the opening like time and time again. Initially it was going to be again just at the end of the summer, we're going to close for a couple of months and then we're going to open back up, and then they pushed it back to the fall and then got pushed back to the spring, and just within the last day or two it's been pushed back to next summer, so summer of 2021. They're expecting, or they're going to try to open things in June on Broadway, but that will be hard for regional theaters that were struggling financially already to open back up. And the arts, as we know, historically have not been really well funded. So the money that already wasn't there, it's going to be even harder to be funding live performance and live theater. Part of me is thankful that I won't have to really worry about getting a job in industry for 2 years after I work for this year and then graduate next year. It'll be spring of 2022 until I'm looking for, you know, career jobs. Part of me is hopeful that by then there'll be some sense of normalcy brought back in the theater industry. But who's to say if that's really going to happen? Yeah, I don't know. There's something else I was going to say, but I forgot it. Sorry.
Oh, no problem. Would you say you're hopeful?
Yeah, on the whole. But it gets harder when there are things like the announcement that just came out that Broadway's not going to be opening for some time. Again, it just is really hard to see those restrictions just be put on. Oh, the other thing I was going to say was even when it does come back, it's not, I know that it won't look like it did when things were shut down back in March, because we will still be adhering to guidelines, I assume, of like seating people with socially distant guidelines and wearing masks in the theater. And while theater often gets criticized for being like an elite form of art because it's expensive and it's hard to, there's not like a ton of opportunity, where TV and movies is pretty accessible to people across the country, theater and specifically Broadway is really hard for people who don't have the financial means to buy tickets and to travel to New York City or even to just their closest regional theater. It can be really expensive. And with COVID restrictions on it, I feel like it's going to be even more so, because there will be, you know, just a fraction of the tickets being sold because they can't sell out a full theater. But there's still going to be, you know, rent for these theaters to pay to, for the shows to pay to the theater. And there's still going to be, you know, costs that it takes to run the productions. So ticket prices will go up because there's less tickets being sold. And it'll be even harder to see theater. It's definitely going to look different when and if things open back up. But I'm hopeful.
I think I might know the answer to this, but what do you miss most about life before the pandemic?
Theater, I guess that's pretty obvious. And just seeing people, like it is, at this time last year, I would have been, going to explore the theater scene in Philly, but I also would be, you know, in classes. I had some big like lecture groups that I would have been going to see. And I, just like have, you know, friends that I haven't seen since in 6 months now. That's just been really, really difficult. I think I just miss like the fact that like my life before, and that sounds so like dramatic, but yeah, I just miss like whatever sense of normalcy I had before and the security in it. Not that anything's like secure, but I had a plan for this year, for my senior year, and I had a plan for what I was going to do when I graduate, and I had a plan for the next 5 years and 10 years, but now everything is up in the air. And while I may have a plan for the next year or two, everything could change. As we've seen, you know, things are changing daily. So yeah, I think any, like, the sense of security that I had at this time last year is just completely gone. Maybe that's what I miss the most.
Have there been any unexpected positive impacts?
Yeah, I would say the time, while it was really difficult to be with my family when it all first hit, it was good to be able to be all under the same roof again, because it's been years since I have three other siblings, and we all haven't been, you know, living in that, in a house together for many years now that we're all getting a little bit older and moving out. So there was, like, some good parts about, you know, getting to see them more regularly. Like I said, some of those extra skills I learned, getting, like, learning how to sew, and some of that stuff has been good. I feel like it's more small things than large things, like, you know, TV shows that I wasn't able to watch, I had time to watch, and that kind of stuff. But to be honest, I, like, part of me thinks that I would be willing to sacrifice those small wins because there were so many major losses, that I still would have, like, the small wins don't justify the large losses. Yeah.
How do you feel the individuals in your community respond to the pandemic?
I think on the whole, people have been pretty, like, aware and conscious of the impact that it's taken, at least between Lancaster and Philadelphia, which are, like, the two places I would consider my communities. In Lancaster, while there is, I'd say, some, like, a pretty large conservative community, I'd say for the most part, people have been pretty, like, conscious about taking the restrictions as seriously as they can. And in Philly, since it is a city, and I'd say most people are, you know, pretty forward thinking, there has been a, like, a decent response to the restrictions. But having said that, I'm also in a community of a bunch of college students. Even though I'm not currently a student, my roommates are students, and I'm still living in, like, what is considered student housing. That's off campus, but still, like, it's a lot of students in my area, and I think college students right now are some of the biggest culprits of partying and being in large groups in a way that is negative. There was the reason why, like, Temple, my college specifically, shut down after the first week of classes in person, is because they were up to over 300 cases of corona in just 1 week, which is obviously not good. So, I mean, honestly, I think it, like, I would like to think that people are pretty positive, like, pretty responsive to the restrictions and the guidelines. But maybe that's just because I think that I am. I don't know if that's the truth about everyone.
How do you feel your country responded to the pandemic?
I think it responded poorly, really poorly. We have seen other countries that were really strict in the beginning, and their leadership was very conscious of the threat that corona has posed and was aware of the impact that it has taken within our, like, there are other countries that have been aware of the threat within its own country as well as the global impacts. And I think that America, specifically the president, Mr. Donald Trump, has been really irresponsible about the whole thing. When the first, like, the shutdowns first happened, there was just this sense that he didn't take anything seriously. And then throughout the past 6 months, there are so many things that he has said that just prove that he doesn't think this is very serious. He, the way that he interacted with Dr. Fauci, who was, you know, leading the whole thing, frankly, he is the doctor in charge of everything. The way that the president responded to him, I found irresponsible and disappointing. And just recently, the president himself got coronavirus, and he has, like, survived it, and there haven't been any major impacts that the public knows about. on his life specifically, which has just given him more of a platform to stand on in his case that he thinks that this virus is not really a problem and it doesn't matter if we, you know, take it very seriously. And that has been one of the hardest parts, because we've seen other countries that have like dealt with it in very different ways, and they have, they've come out of it like with the sense of normalcy that they had before. But here we are 6 months in and we're still talking about it in such a scary way. And it's because our leadership just didn't take it seriously in the beginning.
Did you or anyone you know test positive for COVID-19?
Yeah. My sister, I have an older sister who was working at a home for children who have been displaced in the immigration process. And in March, at the end of March, one of the kids at her facility contracted the virus. And my sister was transporting the kids to and from testing zones and within the like living campus. She was transporting kids and working with them pretty closely. And while she was, they were taking precautions between face masks and face shields and scrubs and, you know, hand washing and all that stuff, she still contracted it. It luckily was not really, it didn't leave a lasting impact as far as we know on her. She was pretty sick for about 2 weeks. And for a couple of days of that, she was in bed and pretty much couldn't leave. But she, I mean, survived and hasn't had any like health concerns since that seem related to that. But it also, that was really scary for my family, because then there was concern that she was going to spread it to one of us. And it, again, just made it more real. Like in any scenario, you don't think it's going to happen, but then when it happens to you or your family, it becomes a lot more real and more scary. So, yeah, seeing her get sick was definitely difficult.
Do you think it's possible for things to return to the way they were before the pandemic?
I think the optimist in me wants to say yes, but I think that we're not going to see that for many years, like 10 to 20 years, until people can look back and say, oh my gosh, remember when we were in the coronavirus pandemic 10 years ago? I think that we're going to see masks and like PPE for many years to come, which I totally respect and will probably participate in all of that, because I, if nothing else, I want to protect myself. I think that at some point people are going to get fed up with not being able to be in big groups for, you know, sporting events and concerts and theater. So again, the optimist in me wants to say that we'll eventually return to some normalcy with that, but it is wild to think about like being in a group, being in a single room with, you know, over 1,000 people again, which felt like just some, it didn't feel like anything a year ago, but now it feel, that's really scary to me. And I've even like felt that when I'll watch TV shows or movies that have like, you know, big group scenes, that it's big groups of people, or they, you know, strangers they're meeting for the first time and shaking hands. And I've watched scenes like that and been like, oh my gosh, I can't imagine doing that anymore, because it now is just so taboo. So maybe in 15 years, we'll see some sense of normalcy, but I think it's gonna be a long time until we can like look back on coronavirus. I still very much feel like we're in the midst of it, as opposed to other people who think that it's pretty much over.
So in the meantime, what do you anticipate for the new normal?
I think like what we're dealing with now feels like it's going to be the regular for a while. It, like masks will be required in all businesses and, you know, groups larger than, I don't know what the restrictions are, but larger than 10 or 20 will not be, even if they're allowed, I don't think they'll be attended and they won't be really respected. Like there's a lot to be said for people who like shame other people for doing those things. That's not the best way to say it, but like college students have been keeping each other accountable with the partying that was happening at the beginning of the semester. And I feel like if there was any type of large event to open in the next, in the near future, then there would be a lot of shame, frankly, to come to the people that organized it and attended it. So I think it'll continue to be like hesitant, like continuation with life. We'll still be wearing masks. We'll still have to adhere to the guidelines that are put in place. Until we find if there's a vaccination, then things will maybe start to take a change. But I think until then, it'll probably look like what we're dealing with now.
Is there anything you'd like to share with me that I have not asked you about today?
I don't think so. I'll talk about the vaccine for a second, because as that has become part of the discussion and part of the concern moving forward, I know that would make me personally feel better if there was a vaccine to cure this virus, or rather help protect people from getting it. But I know that there's so many concerns with that. As we know, there are people across the country who believe that vaccines are harmful, and that is going to be a real mess when the same people that aren't wearing masks aren't going to, take a vaccine for this virus. But I think on the whole, that will be like a positive, hopefully a positive outcome, because there will be something that can protect people from contracting it and spreading it to other people. And it would make me feel safer about going to do things if I knew that I was going to be in groups of people that had gotten the vaccine. But even that, we don't know when and if that will ever come. So for now, again, we're sitting and waiting.
Anything else?
I think that's it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time and your willingness to share your experiences with me.
Yeah, thank you.